We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We have an update from the White Claw drinking Mark Ryan. He has put out a response to apparently this program and to those who disagree with his assertion of Will Muschamp being fired after the 2020 season. Hello, everybody. Willie P. and Diesel. This is ESPN Upstate. This is Straight Up with Sturge. We are all friends. This was all done in very good-natured fun, ribbing, and jest. He's probably going to lead the show with this tomorrow. He's probably going to make fun of me and He's going to do the cheesy voice again where he makes fun of the fact that I use big words that they didn't teach him at Florida. It's fine. It's all good.
You know, Mark Ryan really is the human equivalent of boat shoes.
Hey, I like boat shoes. I sometimes wear boat shoes. Why are you going to get on boat shoes? What is that? What do you mean by making that statement? Did I just fall down a little bit in your characterization of me when I said I like boat shoes?
Maybe a little bit.
What does the boat shoes comment mean?
The idea that it wants to be a classy thing, but it's not a classy thing, mostly because of the people who adopt them.
I think people think that about RVs. Like not the kind of RVs that you.
It's either really nice or it's a meth lab.
Right. Which one's Mark? he has responded partially because our buddy Chris Phillips said, "Now, Mark, you told me South Carolina would be an 8-win team and a top 15 team this season. Now you're going to say that Muschamp is gone after 2020. How can that be?" And he said, "Easy. This is the year of no expectation, the year the fan base is foolishly offering excuses for, despite a great senior signal caller. Next year, Bentley will leave the garage. Fan expectation will soar if there's no jump to 9-3 in year 5. Poof. Mark, with a C, my words." Look, I'm looking at this and obviously looking at this from the standpoint of everybody, I will say this from where South Carolina is with Ryan Helinski in 2020. Ryan Helinski is going to be special. Ryan Helinski is going to win you football games in 2020. You're not going to have Bron Edwards, so you're going to have to basically do it with a cast of characters that includes Shai Smith and or Trey Smith, and guys like Randrickus Davis, players of that nature, a couple of other wide receivers coming in, Xavier Leggett, Kevion Mullins, and people really, really love Leggett. They really love Leggett. So I think he's going to certainly raise the level of people's expectations this year. And they also love Kevin Harris at running back. I think the combination of Harris with the renewed offensive line, you're going to have all those underclassmen a year older. You're going to have a third year of starting under Dylan Wonnum. Sedarius Hutchinson will be a senior. You'll have a redshirt sophomore at center. Again, this team will mature at the right time to make another positive step forward in 2020, I think. And add in the fact that you're going to have back a bunch of your defensive firepower, especially in the secondary. I don't think you understand what South Carolina has. The secondary from a year ago to today is 180 degrees different because Horn and Mukwamu are legit. They are the truth. Like that offense that ran all over them at Death Valley at the end of last year won't be able to make those types of plays when those two teams meet in Columbia in the last weekend of November. So that is number one. And number two, I think Ryan Olinsky is going to be able to win them some football games in 2020. Those on the Twitter, at ESPN Upstate, this is coming in a conversation that was started, or at least thrown towards our buddy Brad Crawford, who, of course, national recruiting analyst and college football reporter for the folks at 24/7. You can also chime in on this at 844-GSP-ESPN. Also on the text line at 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Do you think Will Muschamp will be on the hot seat after the 2020 season? In the period of time there where many believe and even Mark thinks he might lose his job. Brad says he believes that South Carolina will go 6-6 this fall. He'll be evaluated heavy late 2020, which I've said for over a year. He wouldn't be fired at the earliest until after the 2021 season. That would act as the, quote, contract year for them. Now, Ronnie, I don't know if Ronnie got into Darren Wilkes' cocaine, but he says we're not going to be 6-6, more like 9-3 at the worst. Going to beat Bama. And this is Ronnie's quote. And the uses of Osterine Clemson. Finally have a run game and defensive depth, and we'll win those games without juicing, unlike Mark Ryan's team in Pickens County. Hashtag boom, hashtag spurs up, hashtag all gas, no breaks. That's funny. That's very funny. I'm wondering if Mark is a little, if I'm sorry, if Ronnie Medlin, rather, is a little bit off the meds there. That's a little bit optimistic for me. What would be your most optimistic 2019, Diesel, for the Gamecocks? 9 would be my most optimistic.
Eight is very achievable.
8, I believe, needs to be your baseline for happiness.
9's going to be tough. 9's going to be hard.
9 means you beat A&M or Georgia, one of the two.
Yeah, I'll take 9.
It means you beat A&M or Georgia or both, and you lose to Clemson, Alabama, and maybe at Tennessee or Florida. Because, again, here's what you have to allow for. If you're going to beat one of those teams that you think South Carolina is an automatic loss against, you're going to have to concede a loss to a team that you probably shouldn't lose to, because that's probably going to happen, because that's the way the law of averages works here. You don't beat everybody you're supposed to and also overachieve and beat somebody else. You usually have to take something in the negative. That's usually the way the law of averages works when it comes to college football. And everyone seems to think that that is an appropriation of their school. Like, that's the South Carolina way, or people used to say that at my alma mater too. That was the Missouri way, or some people said that about a couple of other schools in the ACC. That used to be the Clemson way. That's how that verb that Dabo hates used got started, is that Clemson would overachieve and beat somebody they weren't supposed to, and then they would Clemson a game away. Don't call me saying that I used it. I'm just using it as an example, folks. But every program that isn't necessarily Alabama or at the upper echelon believes that their program does that, and so my assertion that if South Carolina does beat an Alabama, a Clemson, a Georgia, or A&M, that they will also probably lose a game like a Missouri, a Kentucky, a Florida, or a Tennessee, or a Vanderbilt, that probably is what you're looking at. Or an App State. That would be very much if they lose to App State, how braggadocious are you going to be? Will you be about as insufferable as Mark was when he won the Star Award?
I will not walk into work that day. I will float through the front door.
Understand. They've never played before, right? This is first time, right?
No, they've played before. South Carolina, I think, is 1-0.
Okay, but this is the first time they played since the move.
In the last 25 years. Oh, absolutely,
first time they played since the move. So this is as fair of a fight as they've had with them.
Yes.
Understand. We're also asking you on Facebook, on Twitter, I should say, at ESPN Upstate. We are also on Facebook at ESPN Upstate as well. What is the most insane take that you've had, the most insane opinion that you've had that you feel incredibly justified about, you'd die on a hill for, and yet is also something that many believe that you should belong in an insane asylum for.
South Carolina's 8-1 against App State all time.
8-1 against App State all time in football. So, yeah. So this
1975 is the only time App State pulled off the win.
When was the last meeting was? What year?
I'm waiting for that to load.
While you have that, well,
1988 looks
1988.
Like
1988. Okay, so way before the switch from FCS to FBS. We're asking you again, which is the insane take you have that will get you basically voted into the insane asylum, but you will die on a hill for? Diesels is suggesting a college football scholarship reduction from 85 to 75 for FBS schools. I'm suggesting the removal of all kicking in the game of football. But I will settle for no kicking in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter or overtime.
I like the no kicking in overtime rule.
You like the no kicking in overtime rule?
Perfectly fine with that. No, yeah, no punting.
What about the punting?
You have to go for it.
What about the last 2 minutes? What about the 2 minute warning? What about the 2 minute warning? All the kicks go away.
There's an integral part of the game there. I'm fine with that. Overtime, I want them to play it out.
I think not having punting in the last 2 minutes either also gives you the opportunity an opportunity, if you're trying to kill the clock, kill the football, then that gives you an onus of trying to get a first down. And that lets the defense have an opportunity to win the game on their own right. I mean, imagine in a one-score game and you're trying to salt away the game. You have the football and you're trying to salt away the game and you have a fourth down in your own territory going up against a defense who has an opportunity with a stop to get the football back. But they, of course...
It does force you to be aggressive,
yes,
at all times during that period of the game.
844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Connor is called with his insane take that probably will let him share with us. He probably wants to die on a hill for it, but we might think he belongs in the asylum. What do you got, Connor?
I don't think I'm that crazy. I have two things. I think, one, my main one, I think that Tua from Alabama is severely overrated, and I don't know why they put him as number one on these big boards for the upcoming draft.
You're not
You're
not wrong, with me at least. I've said repeatedly that I think Tua is severely overrated. Tua is still living off of the win over Georgia 2 years ago.
Exactly. The other one, though, is I stand by it that a spike to stop the clock is intentional grounding, and it should be a penalty.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. See, here's the thing. I appreciate the call, Connor. I am a very much outside-the-box thinker, so I probably don't believe that people are insane when they bring out these takes. That one's actually pretty good. Did you know
Is that a take, or is that just a rule he doesn't like?
No, I think it's a take. He thinks it's intentional grounding.
That sounds like a rule he doesn't like.
So the first year of the spike was 1990 in college football, right? That came into play in Colorado's game at Missouri in 1990, and the down counter did not recognize the spike as part of an actual play. So he forgot to move the down marker as a result of the spike coming. So Colorado ended up getting an extra play on the goal line against Missouri, and they ran it in on what was fourth down, what in reality was fifth down. The fifth down game there. So that plays to my sensitivities and sensibilities as well, because I do think the spike is a little bit of a cheap move in a way, in my mind. I wouldn't be opposed to getting rid of the spike. I'd be fine with that. That's fine with me. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Our next guest is a midday host of WFNZ in Charlotte. We'll talk a little Panthers with Nick Wilson, and I also want to ask him if he was tempted to go in the gutter and be a part of this chicken sandwich craze that everybody seems to be going on right now with regards to every particular content creation device talking about chicken sandwiches. I'll ask him that and more when we come back involving the Panthers as we continue on Straight Up with Sturge, Willie P. and Diesel on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So I had this idea initially to talk to my buddy Nick Wilson, who hosts Middays on WFNZ in Charlotte, because I wanted to talk Panthers. But the more and more I thought about it, I subliminally wanted to ask him if he did the very cheap radio thing and go inside the well to basically where all of these cheap content creators have gone and go into the chicken sandwich contest scenarios that have been appropriated by Popeyes and Chick-fil-A and all these beef. Nick, did you get into the chicken sandwich debate at all with these folks at all during your time on the air this week?
No, one, because in like 5 minutes it became hackneyed. And two, because anybody, whether it's in North Carolina, South Carolina, or if they're just a good American, knows the Cajun filet biscuit from Bojangles
yes.
is the truth, the light. And don't bring me that Popeye stuff. Don't bring me Chick-fil-A. So part of it is it's hackneyed and everybody's doing it.
Yes.
The other part is I'm offended by people's bad taste in chicken who don't say Bojangles Cajun Filet Biscuit.
I get angry when I go and drive through Bojangles and not only do I have to wait for my Cajun Filet Biscuit, but I also have run into the situation where they do not have the Bo's sauce. Those are the two most frustrating moments of my life.
The other day, I'm a large man, so
yes.
I like to make sure that I'm currently up on different branches of Bojangles, the right ones to go to.
Yes.
I went to a Bojangles the other day. They had ran out of pimento cheese.
Wow.
And it hurt. It hurt in my soul, but I still got the sandwich without the pimento cheese, and I still got a nice order of Bo Rounds as well, because Bo Rounds are also the truth, the light, and the reason.
I understand. I haven't tried the pimento cheese since it's come out, so I must make that something that is on my to-do list.
You're not ready, buddy. You're not ready. Work up to it.
So mean to me. Why are you always so mean to me whenever you come on the air?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I, as a connoisseur of fast food and bad foods for me, I could eat, an extra large pizza tomorrow, no sitting. Like, for you, you know, I feel like we got to work up to it. You're a little bit more in shape than I am. I wouldn't want to, you know, send a shock to the system. That's all. I'm thinking of you.
More in shape than you is not saying much. So I'm just saying.
Well, listen, I am a shape. Okay,
yes.
And that shape is round, and some people find that shape to be delightful.
I find you incredibly delightful. Nick Wilson, WFNZ, joining us here on the program. Okay, the main reason I wanted to talk to you is I wanted to talk some Panthers. We are actually going to get to see something that at least closely resembles Panthers football this week. How much of this do you think at least is trying to whet the appetite of those who are jumping off the ledge? Because it seems that a lot of people are kind of, I would say, a little bit agitated with the way that the preseason has gone for the Panthers.
Yeah, and especially coming off the Buffalo game. You know, if I had a criticism of Ron and the way he kind of views things, I think Ron is very sensitive to criticism. And even though, you know, I think sometimes maybe I over-criticize him for that, I think you know, maybe 10% of this is understanding that people have doubted Cam and are, you know, I think some of this is Cam probably hears people doubting whether he's going to be able to play this season, which is ridiculous at this point. But, like, I think he hears that, and then he might start to press. So I think that's kind of the way it goes down. But, yeah, I think that plays a part into the night.
What are you most excited to see on the Panthers side tonight?
I think just seeing Cam out there. And I said this today. Like, we can get into, God, it'd be great to see him throw two touchdowns. It'd be great to see, you know, a big play or him connect with Curtis Samuel, which he did all in camp. But you know what the reality of it is? Just seeing him get reps. Just seeing Cam get comfortable again. Because that's the real benefit here. You've got a guy who wasn't comfortable and who, because his arm was hurting last year, altered, and I mean, he was throwing primarily off his shoulder instead of using his legs because his shoulder hurt so bad, and he was trying to push the ball. And that was the last six games of last year for him. So he hasn't got a lot of time with Curtis Samuel or DJ Moore because they were coming on right as he was kind of getting hurt. So I think that, to me, the connection between those guys, and then, you know what, I'm going to give you a fat guy answer. I need to see the offensive line tonight. They don't have to look phenomenal, but last week they looked disinterested. They can't look that way this week. They're just too important for this season and our perception and the expectations of the Panthers this year.
Do you think that this team is in position to keep three quarterbacks just because they feel like they have to with the volatility of Cam's shoulder?
Yeah, I think they are. One, I think they've got really good first team. I think they've got decent second teamers, but like, I don't think they're going to be letting like a future starting safety go by. They're going to be cutting somebody who was in the AF last year. So I think that's part of it. And the other part of it is you got to keep them, because what happened last year, you know, the Panthers got lucky that Cam wanted to play until he couldn't play anymore. Cam could have gone out at when the shoulder really started to give him problems, week 10, week 11, week 12, and he could have begged off, and you would have had four or five games with Kyle Allen and Taylor Heinicke, which would have been an unmitigated disaster. We think Cam's in a position where he's going to start 16 games this year. We think that everything's right and that the shoulder isn't going to give him issues. We don't know. And right now, I've really talked backup quarterbacks for the last 2 weeks, and the truth is, where this team is, you better carry three guys. And I'll be honest with you, I think two of the guys should be Cam Newton and Will Greer. I don't think the third guy is already on this roster. I know people got gung-ho about Kyle Allen, but I'm sorry. I don't see an NFL quarterback when I watch Kyle Allen.
ESPN Upstate, straight up with Sturge. Will Pelagic here with you. We're talking with WFNZ midday host Nick Wilson. Panthers and Patriots tonight coming up a little bit more than an hour from now here on, and of course you can hear it on our sister station, Classic Rock 101.1 as well here in the upstate of South Carolina. I know all the love on the defensive side of the football has gone to guys like Brian Burns and Bruce Irvin. I want to know where the love is for Marquise Haynes, because I think he's somebody who fits very much into this brand new 3-4 that they're trying to implement, and he's somebody who can contribute very much in a spell position under Bruce Irvin there at that right outside linebacker position.
I'm glad you brought up that name, and I think what's interesting is a lot of people last year going to the draft saw him as a kid who weighed 230 pounds and said he either needs to bulk up or he needs to be in a 3-4 system. So now this team going to that 3-4 front, even though, again, you know, we got to throw out the cliche thing about, well, they're only in base defense 30% of the time anymore and all that. But the reality is the kid's got speed. And he, I think a year in, and Eric, listen, Eric Washington was not a great defensive coordinator, but Eric Washington is a very good defensive line coach and somebody who's developed young edge rushers. I'm excited about Marquise, and I'm excited about him because, you know, you got four guys right now who I think are going to give you a chance to get to the quarterback. Mario Addison and Bruce Irvin are your vets. And then between Burns and Haynes, I think this position has the ability to really become, once again, a strong suit. And I, you know what? But I agree with you. I think people are, because of Burns, I think people are sleeping on Haynes. And I wouldn't. I'm excited to see what the kid can do this year.
What effect, if at all, do you think the legal situation with Brian Cox Jr. has on him and his obviously tenuous situation right now with having to deal with a very, very crowded defensive line room now?
I think his future employment probably has more to do with that room than it does his legal situation. I mean, you know, DJ Moore last year got caught in a similar situation, and there was kind of a behind-the-scenes situation that kind of played out where they kind of took him to task internally. They didn't, you know, a slight fine, I think, but they didn't really make it more than that. If he's on the roster, I would expect that to be similar to what they're going to do with Brian. But I think it's interesting. I mean, you know, this year, Effie Obata was a guy who last year we all thought was an edge rusher, and this year they kind of have him more on the defensive line still. So that that for a guy like Brian Cox Jr., that extra guy in Effie Obata Jr. could cost Brian Cox his spot.
Nick Wilson at WFNZ joining us here on ESPN Upstate. A couple more for you. Does Terry Godwin make this football team?
I don't think so. I think Torrey Smith is going to make this roster, and I'm going to scream. I think Godwin is certainly a very raw kid, but if I hear one more person say on a team full of 30-year-old vets that they need the locker room presence of Torrey Smith, like this isn't the 2016 Cleveland Browns where everybody was 23 and under, but yet the Panthers just continue to come back to this. I tend to think Torrey's going to make the roster. I think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt because he's been injured. But I'd like to see Terry make this roster. I think highly of that kid as a late-round flyer.
Christian Miller's role on this team, only special teams in your mind?
Yeah. He's a project. I think he's been at points. He's made a couple plays that have kind of wowed people. And he has all the gifts to be a good player. And I mean a really nice player eventually. But I think what has stood out early in camp was Brian Burns is still very raw, but probably more NFL ready than Christian Miller is, who's probably a year, maybe two, maybe even 3 years away from really being able to step in there and trying to contribute.
One more Panthers question here with Nick Wilson. Who is tonight's game, with a player on the bubble, who is tonight's game most important for?
I would probably say Jordan Scarlett. I think the kid has everything you want, and everything you want is a third back behind Artis Payne and of course, Christian McCaffrey. But Elijah Holyfield and Reggie Bonifan have gotten a lot of run, and they've looked pretty good. And I think Jordan Scarlett, who's the fifth-round pick out of Florida, running back, I think he would be a surprise cut. I hope they don't. I hope they realize he was injured and you can't do anything about that. But I feel like tonight is a big game for him to get out there and try and take a step forward.
I got one more for the Cleveland native, Nick Wilson. We're going to have to talk about Baker Mayfield. He knows the whole screw you tour thing that only works for Tom Brady. He knows that, right?
Funny. I almost said he does now. I don't think he does now. I think he is going to be this generation's Cam Newton, that he's not going to walk the way you want him to. He's not going to talk the way you want him to. He's not going to act the way you want him to. And the way that we expect of NFL quarterbacks, he's kind of his own little cult of personality. And I think what that means for everybody else is, I think if you're a Cleveland fan, you're going to build a statue for him before he retires. And if you are a fan of anyone else, you're going to get sick of hearing his name by week three.
I certainly am sick of hearing his name, and it's not even week three. But I'm not sick of hearing your name or your voice. Nick Wilson of WFNZ. You can hear him 10 until 2 with Josh Parcell. I'm Wilson and Parcell on our sister station, WFNZ in Charlotte. Always good to hear from you, buddy. Good stuff.
You, sir, are the Cajun filet biscuit with pimento cheese of my life.
I love it. Thanks, Nicky. It's Nick Wilson of WFNZ.
He gets it. It's all about the Cajun filet biscuit from Bojangles.
I'm surprised it took us this long to bring that up in the
I have one across the street from my apartment. I'm surprised I haven't put on 20 pounds.
I have a similar situation. I have one, that is the closest restaurant to my apartment as well, and it literally takes
delicious. I've walked to Bojangles. I've been hungover and walked to Bojangles.
It takes literally 98 seconds for me to drive from my parking spot to Bojangles from my house. So there you go. We've just given them a lot of free advertising that we'll never see the payoff of. It is ESPN.
Their delicious food gives themselves the advertising.
That's okay. ESPN Upstate at ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. If you want to hear a person do an audible moonwalk, that's what Baker Mayfield did. We'll talk about that next on ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Is there an athlete in sports who has done less and talked more than Baker Mayfield? I think there isn't. Maybe Johnny Manziel. I think those two are very similar in stature to me. They both come from a very similar background. A little bit casual with the way that they do the law. They both have Heisman trophies. And while Johnny had an unceremonious exit from the National Football League, Baker is going towards what many believe is an ascent in the National Football League. Yet he continues to garner negative attention. And I don't necessarily understand why he continues to try and seek that negative attention. His latest bugaboo involves Giants rookie quarterback Daniel Jones. The comments that were made by Baker Mayfield towards him, he basically said to a GQ writer that it, quote, blows his mind that the Giants drafted Jones. This is the one, and basically, because he didn't win in college, I asked David Cutcliffe about Daniel Jones, and he spoke more highly about Daniel Jones than he did really about anybody when it came to that at ACC kickoff last year. So I was ahead of this way before anybody else was. And Cutcliffe, who doesn't shy away about giving praise to anybody, he said that Daniel Jones was NFL ready before he took the field for Duke in 2019. Or 2018, I should say. Daniel Jones' inconsistencies probably deal more with the inconsistencies of the Duke team around him and their limitations as a program than anything having to do with his on-field acumen. However, the situation involving Daniel Jones is very interesting, and this is what he had to say when covering up his comments involving Daniel Jones of the New York Giants. Looking at some of the things where he had to say it, you said you
have. First, I'll probably say that this is the one and only time I'll address this issue because, you know, the interview was done back in April, like right after the draft, and just things taken out of context, and that's the problem with today's day and age. You know, you don't read the whole thing. You don't put two and two together. You just kind of read scripts, and then people, you know, they combine sentences from different conversations. And so it seemed very disrespectful, and I can understand that. But what people didn't realize is the conversation entailed of me saying that I was surprised I was drafted number one overall too, and then me going on a rant after that about QB evaluation and then me frustration from recruiting processes and stuff that I've had that I've, you know, it's very well documented my thoughts on a lot of that.
That is Baker Mayfield speaking about Daniel Jones, and he said that he did the gentlemanly thing and reached out to Jones to, quote, clear the air between the two.
It had nothing to do specifically about Daniel, about the winning and stuff, but, you know, I reached out to Daniel because all that blew out of, you know, way out of hand, and I wanted him to know how I felt, and I've heard nothing but great things from Saquon and Sterling Shepard, guys that, you know, have a lot of respect for him and that I, you know, respect their opinions, and so I just wanted to clear the air with him, and, you know, it is what it is. That's today's day and age. You read one thing, and you can have your feelings, but that's the only reason I addressed it yesterday is because, that to me, that came back on my character. You know, that's one thing that I don't care about a lot of opinions of it, you know, if you like me or not, but that looked like my character was, you know, way out of line, and so that's the only reason I addressed it.
He also said that he embraces this new role with having OBJ in the fold and a bunch of other pieces on defense. It seems like the Browns are looking more like the hunted than the hunter. That's something that Baker says he salivates at.
We want to get somebody's best shot every game to where we have to bring it every week. And then at the same time, that means we're doing something right to where people want to beat us. They're not, you know, going into a game and people not giving effort, it's not fun. You want to compete against the best. You want to play against the best, against their, you know, their ability.
The only time that I can think of what I like to call a screw you tour, the only time I can ever remember that actually working for somebody was Tom Brady after Deflategate.
You know, it's funny. We in the media, I don't know how, you know, how listeners feel about this.
Don't use the media.
We in the media. We are the media. We are the four-letter network.
Media. I hate when people say the media.
Okay, we in.
Just say we as in you and me.
Okay. When
people like you and me.
Yes. When people like you and I want players to give more than just canned generic responses. However, when they give more than canned generic responses, we light them up for it. People on Twitter are the same way.
It's not that I
There's such a tenuous relationship between wanting them to be human, but then not wanting them to be human. Wanting them to, you know, not be robots, and then wanting to shut them up because who cares what they have to say?
It's not that I have a problem with him saying what he's saying. My issue is win something first. I know he won the Heisman, but that's an individual award. Win a championship. Go out and win it all. Go out and win the division. Go out and win more than how many games did they win last year? Cleveland Browns 2018. It's like five, wasn't it? I mean, that's what I'm saying. You can't go out and declare yourself the very best and all that and say all these braggadocious things. 7-8-1 they were last year. You can't say all these braggadocious things. You can't declare yourself the best until you've actually put some skins on the wall.
Especially when you still have yet to achieve a winning record.
Exactly. So, again, he's only in his second season. So, it's one thing to be braggadocious. And I'm not saying that I don't like braggadocia. But I like it to have some meat behind it. I like it to have some muscle behind it. There's no real muscle. All Baker Mayfield sounds like is he sounds like an agitator. And I think that Nick Wilson, when he was on with us a couple minutes ago from WFNZ, who is a Cleveland native and grew up a Browns fan, I think made an apt analogy. Baker Mayfield is going to be this generation's Cam Newton, as in somebody who will be beloved by his organization's fan base and vilified by virtually everybody else in football. Because all he does is draw negative attention to himself. Now, Cam Newton doesn't necessarily draw negative attention to himself. There's been some things where Cam Newton has drawn criticism for, but I don't know if he's necessarily gone to Baker Mayfield's level. Cam hasn't done really anything that flirts with vilifying the law and things of that nature. It's other than what happened in Florida, but sorry. I wouldn't say necessarily anything in his NFL life. All that criticism deals with stuff that happened with regards to his play on the field and his inconsistencies on the field. I think he's come a long way. But I also think that Baker Mayfield is going to find out very, very quickly all that chatter, all that talk, all that negative attention doesn't really mean anything unless you can put together wins on the football field. And that's the part of it that I don't like, Diesel. It's not that I don't like an honest player. I like an honest player. I like honest coaches. I like people who it's the same reason why I think people don't like Mike Leach. Mike Leach is probably one of the most entertaining, funny guys in all of college football. Yet what does Mike Leach have to show for his coaching career? Not much. And he's in relative Siberia coaching at Washington State. Coaching at a job where he probably won't necessarily ever get another one because of the fact that his record is 49-40 all time at Washington State. I don't know if you necessarily can sell that to somebody inside the coffers of an actual place that makes along with the negative baggage that he totes along with him that came from Texas Tech. I don't know how you sell that on an athletic director. Given even the limitations that he has, from that perspective. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number, 71307 on the text line, and of course on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We will reveal the results of both of our poll questions, one involving the two of us and one involving the man who precedes us, and tell you also what was left on the cutting room floor. It's ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the radio.com app. So whose take was more insane? My take of in suggesting the removal of all kicking in the game of football, or yours in the scholarship reduction in college football from 85 to 75? 68% of you surveyed say my take was more insane than 32% of
that
yours.
Means mine makes more sense and it's a better idea.
I didn't say yours wasn't. I didn't say yours was not a better idea, or it wasn't a good idea. I should say it's easy. I still think that my idea of having no kicking at all in football is perfectly sane and sound. The same percentage is involved in our other poll, which has almost 1,000 votes already on our Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Mark Ryan of the 1-4 show here on ESPN Upstate said, Will Muschamp will be fired after the 2020 season. Who is least likely to still be employed on January 1st, 2021? Mark Ryan and Will Muschamp, 68% of you say Mark Ryan is least likely to be employed on that date compared to Will Muschamp.
Ouch.
That's not good. What was left on the cutting room floor? We had an entire segment that we were going to talk about with Dabo Swinney and had some sound of his that was supposed to come through but never really did. So he basically kicked himself out of the show as a result of that. So apologies to Clemson fans who wanted to hear from the head coach. We'll try to get his comments from after tonight's practice on tomorrow's program. Also, had a little bit more on Florida-Miami. I want to get more into that, and we'll do that a little bit tomorrow just to kind of give you a window into that. Rob Vino of SportsMemo.com, Sports from a Vegas Perspective, will join us on the program tomorrow. And also, we'll hear from Cole Bryson, voice of the Burns Rebels. Burns and Greer, week zero, beginning tomorrow night with the college football season, thanks to the folks at Founders Federal Credit Union. That kicks off tomorrow night at 7. And don't forget, you have a chance to win tickets to see Clemson, Georgia Tech at Spartanburg Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Get over there tomorrow and enter in for a chance to win 1035 North Church Street Extension in Spartanburg for a chance to win tickets to the Clemson, Georgia Tech opener. Good show, Deez. Enjoyed it today, buddy. For Diesel and for the still recovering Mark Sturgis, I'm Will Pelagic. We say so long, South Carolina.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.